Okay, at this time we'll take the presentation by Virginia Institute of Marine Science, Dr. Mark Luckenbach. Doctor, good to have you here, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner.
You have a long agenda. I'll do my best to be quick. Assuming this opens up, there we go. Okay, so what I wanted to do today was provide for you a little bit of discussion about an issue that you have been dealing with some, and it would appear you're going to be dealing with a lot more based on some data I'm going to show you in a moment. Sort of begin by saying a few obvious things. I mean, first of all, Virginia has been very supportive of the development of an aquaculture industry. Virginia has also demonstrated a strong commitment to protecting and restoring underwater bay grasses. And the story's been pretty good. Large increase in shellfish aquaculture, oyster aquaculture, actually leveling off the last few years, and considerable success in the restoration and protection and restoration of underwater grasses. This next map on the right on your right hand side is a little busy, but all those spots that are green in the lower areas are ones that have showed greater than 20% increase in recent years in submerged aquatic vegetation. So this is two parts of some really good stories. The reason we bring it up here now is that both of these things have been occurring largely in the same shallow water environments. They both essentially compete for that shallow water environment. And you've run up against a few conflicts like that, but a few statistics here, I think, in a few more slides will show you that there's more on the way. Just, again, a summary, your policy guidelines you guys accepted and have been operating under for a while is, number one, you're not issuing new leases in areas with SAV, generally not allowing expansion of gear into existing leases. And if you've got an existing lease and there's aquaculture gear in it, and SAV expands into that area, the growers aren't typically forced to remove them, but they can't expand or move them around elsewhere on the lease. You've not been permitting aquaculture use of the water column over submerged aquatic vegetation. And based on VIMS's advice and working with your staff, you've been defining an SAV bed as an area that's had grass mapped, even at low densities, even less than 10% coverage, in at least one of the previous 5 years. So this is a very precautionary approach with respect to SAV. But absent any data to do otherwise, we believe at VIMS that that's been an appropriate precautionary approach to take. And it's similar to what's been done elsewhere along the East Coast. But here's an issue. So the upper right-hand corner, the sort of low contrast in here with all these lights, but outlined in yellow is a lease with bottom cages of oysters. Outlined in red in 2013 is a nearby grass bed. By 2015, the grass bed had expanded into where the lease was. And by 2017, there's two sets of red lines there. There's a dense area of grass bed and some lighter area of grass bed in the lease. Then, come back. In fact, this and several other similar situations have led many in the aquaculture industry to say, hey, look, how can we be herding grasses? They're coming into our areas. Maybe we're helping them, maybe it's neutral, but they're actually invading the areas rather and becoming established rather than the opposite happening and losing grasses. So on the left, this is just a map of, from I think the data are probably 2017, maybe 18, from the lower Rappahannock River. You can see the bridge there. The areas outlined in red are shellfish leases. Those that boxed in yellow are shellfish lease applications. And then we've got various density coverages of submerged aquatic vegetation. And the overlap between these categories is really clear. In fact, if you look over on the right, I don't need to read all of this, but in 2017, SAV in Virginia covered about a little over 50,000 acres. Current shellfish leases were over 200,000 acres. Current shellfish leases that contained SAV were almost 6,000 acres. And maybe the percentages tell the story better on the bottom. Total SAV coverage that lies within shellfish leases is about 12% of all the SAV coverage that we have in Virginia. That's a big push because a lot of that SAV coverage is in low salinities, where we lower salinities and we've got oysters. But existing leases with SAV, 18% of the existing shellfish leases in Virginia have SAV, and maybe even more alarming for you is that 27% of the current lease applications have SAV in signed up. So with the success of both of these efforts, we're seeing looming conflict between the two. So let's just a moment to think about what some of the potential negative impacts of oyster, shellfish aquaculture, but this is going to turn to oyster pretty quickly. One is direct damage from bottom cages or trampling, if these two are co-occurring. Another is potentially prop damage from boats in a heavily worked farm. Another is shading by floats or suspended aquaculture of grasses. They're very dependent upon good light levels. And the other one may seem a little harder to get your hands around, but at high densities, shellfish produce a lot of biodeposits, feces and pseudo-feces, which, if there's a lot of them and it's not washed away, can lead to over-enrichment, excess organics and nutrients, and lead to low dissolved oxygen in the sediments. Conversely, shellfish certainly have the potential to improve water clarity from the filtration of the oysters. The structures also can reduce currents and suspended sediments, both of which can increase light reaching the bottom. Certain structures can trap reproductive shoots and seeds. That is actually something I've observed very commonly in clam aquaculture, where you actually see the grasses invading more quickly, partly because the nets actually trap the seeds. And at moderate levels of enrichment, that is, some amount of organics and nutrients raining to the bottom, can result in basically fertilizing plants. So we've got a situation where there's arguments on both sides, there's potential on both sides, we just don't have the data. Okay, we don't know the answers to those questions. So in 2018, the governor convened a stakeholders group, to address various issues around shellfish aquaculture. And one of the recommendations that emerged from that, because this conflict came up and this growing potential for this conflict came up, and it was quite clear we didn't have the information to resolve the answer. So one of the recommendations was that VIM should conduct a study on floating and suspended aquaculture impacts on SAV beds and seek to develop best management practices, if possible, to permit the coexistence of the two. And this study, and that's the language they use, but I'll make it clear, this is not a study VIMS could do by itself. Because if we did little bitty plots and we saw little or no damage, that is not sufficient proof to allow commercial scale farming to persist and exist over valuable seagrass beds. It needs to be something that's done in collaboration with VIMS, industry, and VMRC, because you're the ones with the authority to allow that to happen. So we've been working over the past several months, when it was clear this was going to happen, with the aid of VMRC staff to identify appropriate locations and industry partners to conduct rigorous studies to fulfill this charge. We don't have all of them lined up that it's going to be necessary. There's a lot of different types of gear out there. But our interest at first was to find, experienced people in the industry that we're moving to. Our goal is to try to look at the least impact, in our thought, what would be the least impactful oyster aquaculture methods coexisting with SAV. Because if the least impactful are still impactful, or if we can't make modifications to make them less impactful, we don't need to worry about the ones that lots of cages sitting on the bottom, for instance, that we know will be impactful. So we've identified two industry partners. They both got permits in various stages moving through the process. They may come before you. I don't know what you'll choose to do at this point. I don't think any of them have any protests associated with them. But our goal here is, and what we're hoping and seeking to do, and we've talked to staff about, is to issue something more akin to an experimental permit to somebody. In both cases, these are industries and growers that would be requesting just a permit. Originally, in one case, already have a permit and we're just going to request to move it for experimental purposes over the grass beds. And I won't read through all of this, but VIMS will be very involved in collecting oyster data, water quality data, submerged aquatic vegetation health data, and characteristics of the bottom. It's a big effort. We think the bar is very high. We think we would have to provide evidence in a large number of, or a sufficient number of conditions and locations for this to sort of meet the charge that we were given of determine what, you know, get some data on these potential impacts, find out if it's possible for them to coexist. I mean, they do appear to be coexisting in some places. So I don't want to take a lot of your time, but I think this is my last slide. The goal of VIMS here, I feel like the work group, I attended the work group meetings, the commissioner and Tony and Ben were there at all the meetings as well as part of the support staff. And I don't think it's anybody's goal to promote doing aquaculture in SAV beds, de novo necessarily. But recognizing that there's a lot of overlap at present, I showed you some of that. What we're seeking to do is to determine if the criteria of no grass, even, you know, no grass at all in and around aquaculture, even this less than 10% coverage in 1 in 5 years is overly restrictive. Define the conditions, the types of structures, and the farming practices that are least impactful to SAV, and ultimately to try to provide you with better science on which to base your policies. And that's it. I'm happy to see if I can answer any questions for you. Or
questions of Dr. Luckenbach by members of the commission. There are no questions, but I would just like to thank you for the presentation. Based on the governor's work group, you know, this is something that's very important to us and all citizens of the Commonwealth. We realize the benefits, of course, of SAV. That basically cannot be contradicted, but at the same time, we also recognize the importance of our aquaculture business in the Commonwealth of Virginia, the largest aquaculture clam producer and doing very well at oysters as well. So you have your work cut out for you, but I don't think there's any doubt based on what y'all provided before, y'all will do a good job. So I thank you for your presentation.
Thank you. There's point out to be when individual permit requests come forward to you. I think there's one thing, and we put this in comments about a specific application that I sent to Ben, is we want to have. I mean, the permits go to the industry, to the growers, and typically you want to know exactly where those four corners are, and this is exactly how it's got to stay. But if we get partway through this study. And let's say, for instance, say the farm that you see on the screen there that's widely spaced is fine, and it doesn't have too much shading and any problem. But there's another application, and there's one that's in now, in which the rows are more closely spaced. If we get partway through that and we see that, and even maybe before the plant starts suffering, we'll measure the light, and if the light is reduced, it'd be desirable to have some flexibility and then being able to expand the boundary so that we could spread out that same thing. We don't want to just say yay or nay. We want to try to do what that third bullet there says, is to try to find the conditions and structures and farming practices. So maybe I think it's also going to be it'll be new for VMRC too, whether it's the staff or the commission that has to do that and provide a little bit of flexibility as we go through to, if we see impacts, to be able to try to modify things to reduce those impacts during the course of the experiment.
Well, to that point, I believe that this study is a mandate from both the governor and the secretary by virtue of the work group. I would ask that when you word your applications, that you put that flexibility, requested flexibility in there so that there'll be no surprises and do the very best you can, realizing that science, of course, is flexible and needs to be flexible in nature. We'll do our very best to assist you in achieving our common goal.
Thank you for your time.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And I'm meeting with the Corps of Engineers next week because they'll have a role to play in this as well.
Good luck.
Thank you.